Blog Talk Radio.
Local Turmoil fans, it's Sign Guy along with QT and JB Moonshine welcoming you to another edition of Turnbuckle Turmoil. And before we get started, I want to give our best birthday wishes to Stompin' Steve, the former HPW heavyweight champion. Also want to send our good wishes out to the Beer City Bruiser and to Rex Razor Sharp. Both of them were supposed to be on today, had family emergencies happening, so we will get them back at a later time. Hopefully all is well with them. But today is our tribute to Moonshine, and we are going to continue on with the tribute to Moonshine. And just now joining us, someone that knows something about that, Paul Freakshine, are you with us?
Yeah, I am.
Well, you got into the moonshine business, and that parlayed your way into the pro wrestling business. Can you tell us a little bit about how you converged the two worlds of moonshine and wrestling?
Well, it just started when I decided to start making moonshine and had my own recipe, and I just transformed that into making moonshine, giving in the wrestling business work, and it took off from there.
Now, obviously, as my co-host can attest, you made the moonshine business sort of a family thing. A lot of your boys got inspiration from the moonshine that you were making. At what point did you see that your boys were making it in wrestling, and you decided to follow suit and bring your brand of moonshine to the wrestling business?
You know, JV, he really started his moonshine gimmick, and then I decided to start making the moonshine to make things better for him and make more of his matches.
Well, in recent times, you have sort of strayed away from moonshine. You joined the Freak Show, and I've noticed you haven't really been bringing moonshine out. You haven't really been selling the moonshine since you joined the Freak Show. Do you still have your still? Do you still produce moonshine? What's going on with that?
No, I don't produce the moonshine now. JB decided to take it over and do his thing with it. He still doesn't have my recipe, and he never will. I'll go to my grave with my recipe. I just don't believe his moonshine is as effective as my moonshine was.
Sounds very Dukes of Hazzard reunion movie-esque. Now, you, of course, have been following wrestling for a very, very long time. You probably know this as well as anyone. There's always been sort of a link between wrestling and drinking. Going back decades, we used to have guys like the Crusher and Dick the Bruiser drink beer and talk about going to the bars. You saw guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin drinking beer on a regular basis. There's always kind of a link between drinking and wrestling, even going up to today with Beer City Bruiser and Brian Molina drinking beer in the ring. And what do you think it is that attracts people that have the tendency to want to drink whatever it is, be it beer, wine, moonshine, to the sport of pro wrestling?
I'm not real positive. I think that it has something to do with they feel they get a muscular vibe from it. I don't know if it affects them like it does the moonshine with JV. I don't really think it affects them as well as it does with the moonshine with JV.
Well, since he's here, JB, you've had that little Popeye vibe going. The moonshine was your spinach, if you will. What do you think the link is there between pro wrestling and drinking? There seems to be some type of link.
To me, it's the way that, you know, it's just the way that I'm brought up. Moonshine is, you know, that. Mostly it's just, you know, it's what you do to relax. It's what you do to, you know, get pumped up, get ready to go. I mean, unless you are, like, you know, unless you take the moonshine or, you know, have as much of a alcohol as I am, content as I do, I mean, I wouldn't suggest drinking and wrestling, but, you know.
Now, we all know that has happened before. I'm sure we've all seen it, and none of us encourage it. But you take
nobody
just enough of that moonshine to get the Popeye effect going. How did you come across the right balance? When did you know that was the right amount to have the Popeye effect versus you were going to go in there like the Sandman stumbling around?
I just realized that you know, you take a sweet or two, you're good. You take more than that, and it's gonna have a bad day.
That's very true. Now, Paul, you of course have been around long enough at this point. You've seen guys taking the nips of moonshine. All of your guys, of course, have that moonshine effect happen to them. But I'm sure you've seen guys celebrate in the ring with a beer or a bottle of champagne or something like that. What do you think when you see guys drinking in the ring, either post-match or sometimes I've seen it during the course of a match even?
I've seen a couple of guys take a snort here and there before their match. Not too much, so they are drunk or anything like that. But I think it gives them a high to where it gets rid of the butterflies or whatever they might have if they happen to be nervous about their match or whatever the case might be. You know, sometimes you go in the ring and you have butterflies just from the audience, just from the fans, you know. So I think it helps them relax to that point.
Now, JB, I know I might be talking a little bit out of school, but I happen to know that on occasion you have bled buckets in the ring, and I know that alcohol can be a bit of a blood thinner. Have you ever thought that maybe there is a big link between the amount of moonshine you're consuming and the amount of blood that you're spilling in some of these matches?
I've always wondered that or whatever, but I consider, you know, the more blood I lose, then the more I need to drink.
That's a good theory. Now, I'll just throw out this. I happen to know Tommy Rich's formula is 6 beers, 6 aspirins if, you know, things are going to happen. I don't know if you have your own formula.
It's more like 2 or 3 shots of moonshine, maybe an aspirin. I don't know. Moonshine does pretty good. Good job. But, you know, you get a few shots of that, and, yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I have seen that, yeah.
And you definitely see me bleed, so that's just, most of my blood is probably moonshine.
That's fair enough. Now, I would put you up there with Tommy Rich personally on amounts of blood spilled in the matches there and getting that crimson mask. We've seen a lot of guys go out there and bleed buckets, and a lot of those guys, we found out later, would imbibe in some adult beverages from time to time. Guys like Bobby Heenan, guys like Tommy Rich, guys like Ox Harley, guys like yourself. JB, take yourself out of the equation. Who do you think, just judging by the amount of blood that they've spilled over the years, might have had the most alcohol in them, thinning that blood?
I'd have to go more like the Sandman, Even maybe Stone Cold. I mean, stuff like that. I mean, yeah. I mean, they turn out there with a lot of alcohol in their system before they breathe.
That's no lie at all. Now, Paul, you've been around a lot. You've seen a lot of blood pouring out of people. Who do you think might have had the most alcohol thinning that blood as it was pouring out of them, in your opinion?
Well, you know, the way he's always talked about beer and drinking and this and that. I've seen Ric Flair pour out some blood.
Absolutely, there's no doubt there that he's had an adult beverage or 7 million in his lifetime, and he definitely spilled quarts of blood everywhere he went. Now,
yes, he did.
In modern wrestling, in the last few years, we have seen some people in wrestling actually go into the alcohol business as well. Sam Sims, who is a manager and promoter here in the Northwest, owns his own local brewery in Southwest Washington. Stone Cold Steve Austin has his own IPA that has hit the market in the last few months. The Sandman, I believe, had his own beer for a little while, so we've definitely seen the link where wrestlers do go into the actual business of alcohol. Paul, you talked about the moonshine business and everything, and it jump-started. But JB, have you ever considered maybe parlaying what you do into the ring into marketing for your own type of alcohol business, be it a bar, be it a brewery, be it a moonshine distillery?
I've always thinking about it, but, you know, as hillbillies, it's kind of hard to follow all that paperwork and, you know, and licensing and all that stuff.
There is a lot of paperwork, I'm sure, involved.
Yeah, that's moonshine. We don't have too much storage, you know.
No, I can see that. Now, over the last month at WWE, we've seen on Fox TV, SmackDown, Jeff Hardy's struggles with alcohol being used against him by Sheamus. Sheamus constantly bringing up past DUI events that Jeff Hardy had. He has shown up in interviews drinking beers in front of Jeff Hardy. He had a toast to Jeff Hardy where they had a miniature bar set up in the ring so they could serve Jeff a drink, just kind of mocking his past trouble with alcohol. Paul, what are your thoughts on what they're doing with Jeff Hardy and using his past troubles with alcohol against him?
Myself, I think it's a crock. Sheamus tried to make it to where Jeff Hardy gets arrested and that accident that he was in and you know, using all that against me. I think it's one thing for using it as a gimmick, but trying to ruin somebody's life, I don't think that's right at all.
I agree with you there, and I believe we have one more person on the call. Do we have our caller from the 971?
That was me. I dropped my call drop.
Your call dropped. You fooled me. You fooled me.
Yeah, my call dropped. I was trying to get back in.
Wow. See, that's what happens when you take one extra swig of moonshine.
Yeah.
JB, I'll throw it to you because you've been in the business for quite a while now. You probably have an opinion. When you see WWE taking Jeff Hardy's own past demons with alcohol and putting them on TV in a feud with Sheamus, what's your opinion on something like that?
Well, before I would say it would be a big shame or whatever, but it's not like it's Jeff Hardy's first time. He's relaxed and relaxed and relaxed, and you know, so yeah, they're using it as a story and using it as what, but I mean, to me, either know how to drink and have a little bit of fun, or do what Jeff Hardy does and do it all in public and drive and get all in trouble. I mean.
Now, in your career, have you ever been involved in something where the focus had been your opponent's alcoholism?
My opponent? I have actually in my career, I've had to wrestle somebody that was too intoxicated and that almost injured me.
That's never a good day at the office.
It is not. I mean, they're having fun, and then there's a chance that you might injure yourself or crippling or hurting that person that you're with. And that almost happened with me. I almost got dropped right on my head because he lost his balance when he should not have been drinking as much as he did.
Luckily, you didn't land on your head then.
No. Even if I did,
you have landed on your head before and you were somehow fine. Now, another thing that we've learned in the history of pro wrestling as it relates to drinking is we've known there's been a lot of bar fights happen between wrestlers and other wrestlers, where wrestling fans or just people that were in the wrong bar at the wrong time. We've heard guys like Dick the Bruiser clear out bars. Haku has been widely known to clear out bars and fights. Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty used to get into bar scraps a lot. There's been a lot of bar fights happen. In the old days, some promoters would actually fire wrestlers for losing bar fights. Paul, what's the most famous wrestler bar fight story you can tell us?
Well, I don't go into bars, so I really never seen one. Except, well, I guess in my younger days, I was in one, but that was many years ago when I could handle it.
Did you win?
Well, of course, I was defending my mother, so I won.
JB, ever see or hear of a famous bar fight story in your career?
In my career, no, not really. I mean, I think I've been in like maybe one or two bar fights or whatever in my day.
Did you win?
I wasn't as bad off as he was, I guess.
Hey,
so nothing
guy,
like
I can contest that many years ago, when JB first started, he was in lots of bar fights because that's where he started, was in a bar.
Now the truth comes out.
That is true. That was how I was scouted.
Now, I think we've all seen that wrestling and bars can definitely come together really easy. I'm sure we've all been in shows held either at an actual bar or held in a restaurant that has a bar attached to it, or at least a venue that sells beer. Well, obviously all of us have, because BCW has a bar at that venue. I wrestled at Gouge, and those shows were held outside of a brewery that has a bar attached to it. We know that up until the last couple of months, there was an actual promotion called Bar Wrestling, and those matches were held inside of a bar with no ring. They were just matches held on the floor of a bar. So wrestling and bars have a long history. Paul, have you ever actually wrestled in a bar or a brewery yourself?
I was in a tag team match up in Spokane, and they've got a bar there. So.
There we go. Now, JB, I've noticed when you throw in the bar aspect at a wrestling show, sometimes the fans can get a little bit more dangerous. Let's say they tend to get a little bit braver as the night goes on. Have you ever had any problems doing a show that's at a venue that either is a bar or has a bar attached?
As you said, I did start in a bar, whatever. It was Poland Organic Wrestling. And we wrestled on nothing but a hardwood stage. and we hit each other with chairs and whatever, and yeah, the fans would get aggressive, and they'd throw 12-ounce cans of beer, like still full and open or whatever, and throw them at us and catch flashes of beer. And by the time your match was over, you were soaked in beer.
Did you ever have somebody catch the beer and drink it and then throw the can back?
No. One did get hit in the face with one.
Did he sell it?
Oh yeah, right in the nose. He got mad.
Oh man. See, they should have thought to catch it, drink it, and throw back the empty.
Yeah. I used to come out and give people beer bongs.
There you go. Well, QT, you are with us. Do you have any questions for Paul, JB, or myself as it relates to the history of moonshine and wrestling?
Yes. Paul, in professional shooting, alcohol is actually considered to be a performance-enhancing drug because shooters can drink it to relax themselves and slow their heart rate to give them an edge. My question is it true, Pa, that you yourself encouraged people to drink on the set of Gunsmoke back in 1959 with Marshall Dillon?
You know something, QT, you're getting as bad as JB when it comes to back then when I was a kid. Yeah, you know, and I'm not even going to answer that one. You're getting as bad as JB.
Are you denying that you were on the set of Gunsmoke in 1959 out in Hollywood? Are you denying this?
I was only 5 years old.
It's 1859, not 1859.
Yes. Some people say that was followed by the digit zero, like you were 50 years old in 59. That's a rumor.
Never mind.
Oh. Well, JB, in Russia, many doctors treat alcoholism by surgically implanting a small capsule into their patients. Capsules react so severely with alcohol that when the patient touches a single drop of alcohol, they instantly acquire an excruciating illness similar intensity to acute heroin withdrawal. My question is, in your lifetime, were you ever shanghaied to Russia and had a capsule inserted into you? Inserted to...
Oh, no. Even if they tried to, I had so much moonshine in my system, it would just dissolve it anyway.
Oh, the capsule?
Well,
JB, are you familiar with the term shanghaied? Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it came about in the mid to late 1800s. Sailing was a very tough profession, and you had a hard time, or maritime industry had a hard time finding sailors. So usually in the ports of San Francisco and other West Coast bars, they would have a trap door in the bar, and they would the bartenders would sometimes slip people what nowadays is like a roofie, and people would be knocked unconscious, and they'd throw them through the trap doors, and they'd find themselves on a slow boat to China as sailors. Anyway. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, Pa, this next question is for you. Scientists are now researching a chemical and a drug that dramatically reduces alcohol and BAC levels in the blood, which has the potential to be used to sober people up in a very short time. My question is, Paul, do you remember the movie Revenge of the Nerd?
I remember the name. I don't remember the movie. I mean, I remember seeing the movie, but I don't remember anything about it.
Oh, so you don't remember the Greek games where they had the Lamar do the limp-wristed javelin throw? Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, okay. So you probably don't remember the tricycle race where they raced around this oval on tricycles, and after every lap they had to chug a beer?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Oh, okay, I'm going to go to JB then, who's maybe a known connoisseur of movies. JB, do you yourself remember Revenge of the Nerds?
Yes, I do know Revenge of the Nerds.
Aha! Uh-huh. Okay, so now this is getting off the subject, but do you remember Lamar and his limp-wristed javelin throw?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. Now, he was opposite of the character Tashi, the Japanese, who actually won the tricycle race because the other nerd gave him something like I just talked about, a chemical or a drug that would dramatically sober people up. And as you can remember, Tashi the Indian was given this drug, and he won the tricycle race, although he had to chug a beer after every lap. My question is, in your opinion, who would be the top five contenders in BCW who would immediately be in the forefront or front runners of a tricycle race in the Tri-Lambda BCW Greek Games in the tricycle race? Who would be the top contenders?
That's easy. I just say all members of the free show.
Oh,
hey.
They all look like little Mondays right in place.
Oh, okay. Now, Pa, if they had a tricycle race where you had to chug a beer, would you agree with JB's assessment?
I would agree that JB would be the ringleader on the tricycle.
Okay, ringleader. Okay. So he what you're saying is before the Tri-Lambda games and BCW at BCW, he might sneak in the night before and enhance his tricycle.
Actually, he would be drunk enough to try a unicycle.
Oh, a unicycle! Wow. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Pa, are you familiar with the Willie Nelson song where he sings, "We will gather our men against evil forces, whiskey for my men and beer for my horses"?
I can't say as I have. I'm not really a Willie Nelson fan. I never did care a whole lot about Willie Nelson and music.
Oh, okay. Are you familiar with that song?
I'm not familiar with that song, but I've heard a lot of Willie Nelson songs.
Oh, okay. I was going to. Well, that's a pretty famous line. I was wondering if you yourself tag teamed with Tex Thompson, if you would adopt this as your entrance music, because I'm all about entrance music.
I'm not sure about that. I kind of like mine.
Oh, okay. Have you yourself ever gave a horse beer to drink?
Hey, if you want to share it with me, sure.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm a sharing here.
Out of the same trough.
Yeah,
out of the same trough.
There's no better.
Oh, okay. Well, Pa, after Germany surrendered in World War II, everyone in Moscow partied until the entire city actually ran out of vodka. And in Times Square in New York City, when they announced the surrender of Japan, everyone piled into Times Square and got, including the beat poet Alex Ginsberg. My question is, if you had a choice to time travel and attend the party in Moscow when they announced Germany's surrender or the Japanese surrender in Times Square, which would you choose?
I don't know. Because I'm more familiar with Germany because I was in Germany. But
oh, okay. All right. I'm going to guess that maybe even some of the people in Germany celebrated the end of World War II. Maybe the well-to-do that family weren't affected. Oh, okay. Right. All right. Well, the world's hottest vodka, it ranks in at 250,000 gold bills, which is a measurement of a beer. This vodka is so hot, the manufacturer put a lead seal on the bottle that has to be cut with a wire cutter, and they insist on their website that you don't buy it. Is it true that you had this hottest vodka mixed with Mountain Dew in your jug when I first saw you at wrestling events?
No, that is not true.
Well, I heard from Sign Guy that you might have had the world's hottest vodka in your moonshine jug. Yes, and that's a pretty good source.
Sign Guy lied. That's the bottom line. He's never been. I don't think he's ever been truthful in his life, to be honest with you.
Oh, come on, you remember telling me he had the hottest whiskey in his vodka in his moonshine jug? Yes, Scotch.
That's what Petrov told me.
Petrov lies too.
Is it true that you're going to get into a drinking contest with Petrov anytime soon?
I don't know where you heard that lie.
No, I yes.
Petrov cheats on everything he does. I couldn't trust him as far as I could throw him.
I once dated a chair that Petrov was once dating. I stole the chair away from her. This is well documented. I think Petrov used to get a little bit snarky with this chair when he was drinking, and I used this chair. I can attest to that. Yes.
That's actually true.
Oh,
it was Sarah Jane.
Yes, Sarah Jane. Okay.
I wouldn't doubt that. You hide behind everything.
When have you ever caught me hiding at BCW?
You hide behind a sign guy's wife, and you have to duck to get down to her level.
Well, I realize you once found me in that kind of like storage closet next to the men's bathroom in BCW. Yes. Where they hold the chairs.
Yeah,
but I was just
and you finally came out of the closet too.
you burned me there. Oh no! Oh, I was taking inventory of the steel chairs. You know, steel chairs are often used at BCW. Yes.
But. You were in the closet. We don't keep the steel chairs in the closet. And then you came out of the closet. And I knew that you were kind of funny, but you know.
I have often made the subject of transgenderism and AI intelligence as a future in wrestling. Will you yourself combine alcohol with artificial intelligence to give you a future edge? That's what I'm getting at, artificial intelligence.
You talking to me?
Yeah, I basically asked you that question, yes, about artificial intelligence and transgenderism, yes.
I'm intelligent no matter what I do. I'll never be a transgender.
Okay. All right. Well, Pa, it's a scientific fact that muscles absorb alcohol faster than fat. As a result, people who have more muscles and less body fat have a higher alcohol tolerance.
Well, look at JB's gut and tell me, you know, he didn't get that moonshine belly just overnight, you know.
Well, I was going to say Lex Luger was known to be very slim and have a lot of muscles, whereas Bam Bam Bigelow was kind of at the opposite end of the spectrum. Do you believe that Bam Bam Bigelow would have a lower alcohol tolerance than Lex Luger? That's what I'm getting at.
Not necessarily. I mean, look how much Andre the Giant drank. I mean, it just depends upon how much person can tolerate.
Well, that's true, but you know, in Andre the Giant's earlier age, he was a soccer player up until like the age of 21, and he actually was fairly trim for his size, the 7 foot. It was later when he slowed down and got the knee injury, and he was known to drink that his tolerance was a little bit diminished. In fact, they found Andre the Giant once collapsed in a hotel lobby, and they couldn't move him to his hotel room, so they just left him in the lobby. Have you heard the story?
I heard something about it, but I didn't know exactly what the whole thing was all about.
Oh, okay. Yes, they left Andre just snoring in the hotel lobby. It might have been a wise move. I'm not sure how Andre would be if you woke him up. Well, coffee contains caffeine, which is a stimulant which can make you feel more alert and awake. It doesn't help your body process alcohol faster. If you've been drinking, giving your body time to break down the alcohol in your system is the only way to sober up. My question is, have you been on any long road trips where you have combined alcohol and coffee? Like bottle-proof coffee in my home.
Sometimes you got to Irish up the coffee a little bit, so you know. Yeah, you just add a little. You just add a little bit of moonshine to the coffee, and you just get, you know, do the both a little bit, you know. Not too much, and then you take too much, and then you'll get all loopy. But you know, just the right amount.
Have you ever had 5 shots of strong Irish whiskey and forgot where you were and thought you were had been hit in the head with a steel chair? That's what I'm asking.
I might have been drunk enough to think that before.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, at this time, I'm turning it back over to Sangai.
Thank you, QT. Well, Paul, I know you've been around long enough. You've seen a lot of guys in wrestling, and I know you've seen a lot of guys take a drink or two, be it at the bar afterwards or in the locker room afterwards or what have you. If you could time travel and sit down and have some of your moonshine with anyone in wrestling history, who are you choosing?
Well, I'd have to say probably Mac Gregor.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Me, Mac Traeger, and you have sometimes not gotten along. What makes me, Mac Traeger, the guy that you want to sit down and have a drink with?
Just, you're right. We haven't gotten along a lot. But when it's all said and done, you know, he got pretty level head.
JB, what about you? If you could time travel, if you could sit down and have some moonshine out of that jug of yours with anyone in wrestling history, who are you sitting down to drink with?
I would have to say Andre the Giant, because that way I could prove everybody I can't take him.
He put a lot of people to bed. A lot of people tried to keep up with him.
Yeah,
would you make the effort, or are you going to tap out way before that?
I didn't make the effort. He has a great attempt at moonshining.
Now, I know that Ron Fuller told a story on his studcast that when Andre would stay with him, he wanted to drink. He didn't have a glass big enough for Andre's preference. They had to empty out a vase and wash it and let Andre drink out of a vase. What's the biggest thing you've ever seen another wrestler drink out of, Paul?
What was that again?
What's the biggest thing you've seen a wrestler drink out of? I know Andre used to have to drink out of a vase in order to. Have you ever seen anyone drink out of like a vase or a pitcher or anything?
I've seen JV drink out of a pitcher.
JV, what about you? What's the biggest thing you ever saw a wrestler drinking out of?
Well, I mean, I've seen, like, the Godfather drink out of that big old goblet and stuff like that before, but, I mean, I don't think anybody's been able to have as big of a moonshine jug that I have.
That's probably true. That's probably very accurate. And we know that on occasion, like we were saying earlier, some wrestlers have gotten into trouble with drinking, whether it's from going into a match right after having drank way too much, whether it's getting in trouble at the bar afterwards, whether it's just not being able to function before or after a show because of drinking. All kinds of problems have happened over the years, as it has in any profession. Paul, what's the most trouble you've heard of a wrestler getting into that was directly tied to drinking?
Directly tied to drinking? I can't really recall any that I know of. I I can't think of any.
JB, what about you? What's the biggest trouble you've ever heard of from a wrestler that got into trouble directly tied to drinking?
I'd probably have to say one of them would have been like Rich Swann. He got all drunk and freaking beat up his wife.
Good example.
He got fired and all that stuff.
Now on the flip side of that, like we were saying, we've had a lot of people in the wrestling business also gravitate towards opening bars and opening breweries, endorsing beer. Guys like the Crusher that used to be a spokesman for beer years and years ago. So there's been a lot of happy moments that have come out of it. Paul, what would you say has been the biggest happy moment for a wrestler that's come out of this, whether it's opening a bar or getting a spokesman job, anything like that?
I guess just things I've heard about Bruiser and stuff. I don't really know any personal. I don't know that.
JB, what about you? What's the biggest death story you've heard when it comes to wrestlers crossing over to drinking?
Repeat that one more time.
What's the biggest success when it comes to a wrestler crossing over to drinking, either getting a successful bar going or getting a spokesperson job with the beer or something along those lines?
It depends on what type of a successful career you've had. I mean, if you've had a good career or whatever, then yeah, you probably get a good spokesmanship or be able to, you know, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of people got to write out that name. If you haven't really, you know, done nothing and nobody really knows who you are, then they might not want, you know, they might not, you know, support the bar or support the business because they don't really know who you are. Like Stone Cold.
Excellent point.
The only reason Stone Cold is selling all that beer is because it's Stone Cold. Nobody cares about the IPA part.
That is true. Now, have you had Stone Cold's IPA yet?
Yes, I have. It's okay, but too expensive.
Well, you're going to have to take up the price with Stone Cold. I have no control over that.
Yeah.
Now, QT is down to one beer a night. Unfortunately, it's in a gallon bucket, isn't it, QT?
Yes, it is. It is in a gallon bucket, yes. One last question for Pa. Pa, if you had to choose between these four sports celebrities who were known drinkers and you had to make one choice, who would it be that you would choose to drink with? Joe Namath, Allen Iverson, Charles Barkley, or golfer John Daly?
Joe Namath.
Oh, Joe Namath, okay. Any reason why? Is it because he threw for 4,000 yards in one season and won a Super Bowl besides being 18-point underdogs? Is that it?
No, it's because the only name I know.
Oh. Oh, okay. Now, Sunday, if you had a choice between Joe Namath, Allen Iverson, Charles Barkley, or John Daly, who would you choose?
I go with John Daly because he follows me on the Twitter, but not literally.
Oh, okay. I wonder if Paul Moonshine could outdrive John Daly on the golf course if he had a shot of Irish whiskey.
Possibly. Possibly. Well, guys, we got the last few minutes of the show hitting up here. on our Salute the Moonshine. So we'll wrap this up. JB, you got anything you want to say, plug, or promote?
Well, first of all, what I want to say is in the wrestling business, I do not condone the fact that you drink and wrestle. Drink responsibly. Don't drink behind a steering wheel or motor vehicle. You know, be over 21. I want to, you know, stress that out completely, that, you know, what we do is what we do, but, you know, be responsible. That and so. And besides that, you know, you can find me and watch any of my matches on YouTube with JB Moonshine, the wrestler. There might be a couple other ones out there, so you got to, you know. And I'm always on Facebook. So you always read in, you know, reach out, say hi. Hopefully this thing will be over and we'll get back to live wrestling again soon.
If someone wants to buy your T-shirt, what would they do?
They just get a hold of me, message me, and we will arrange it. I can send it. We do, you know, PayPal. We'll figure it out. You know, just try to message me, DM me, PM me, whatever.
Paul, you got anything you want to say, plug, or promote?
First of all, I want to say to QT that the sign guy has told me you haven't drank since the end of the funnel, but as far as plugging or promoting, when this thing is over with, you can see the freak show at BCW, you can see the freak show in Roseburg, you can see the some of us in Washington, and we also have merchandise, freak show merchandise. I'm getting more freak show merchandise. And when this thing is over with, come and see the freak show. You can also message me on Facebook, and we hope this will be over so we can get back to what we do best. I can get back to managing the freak show. Freak show will be back there winning titles and everything else.
All right. Well, like JB said, if you are going to drink, drink responsibly. And people in and out of the wrestling business, so make sure you are responsible with that. And I'm sure we will resume the long-standing tradition of drinking and wrestling coming together. Lots of venues have the option where you can enjoy an adult beverage while you watch the matches. You can see JB Moonshine taking a shot or six of his moonshine whenever he needs it. So we got that link there. It's always going to be there, I think, between wrestling and drinking. And we'll be back with you next week. Next Sunday afternoon, it is All Masked Wrestlers Day, so we'll be joined by some guys wearing some masks, which is the very trendy thing to do in 2020, let me tell you. So make sure you join us then. Be safe out there. Have a beverage or two for us, and we'll be back with you next week.